Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, I love that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Double Take. Right around the corner are the Oscars that will be awarded in 2026 for the movies that came out
it
in 2025.
It is that time of year again. It's Christmas in Hollywood.
We have millions of dollars, if not billions, resting on the choices made at Oscars.
On who gets that little gold statue? Why? We have our Oscars sitting right in front of us right now, John, right here.
Let's start at the top because then we have others that will dovetail into that. But Ken, for the best motion picture of the year, what do you think?
Well, this year's whole Oscar ceremony is largely tied to just two movies. In fact, this is one of the more predictable years for the Oscars. We can kind of see which direction it's going already, and the recent other ceremonies have given us a strong indication how the Oscars are going to unfold. This is a battle between one battle after another and Sinners. Another year where one of the early films of the year has got a really good fighting chance of cleaning up. And of course, the big news this year is that Sinners had 16 nominations. That's the most nominations any movie has ever had in the history of the Oscars. 14 was the highest number before that. But part of this is due to the fact that there is a new category this year called Best Casting. Other award shows have Best Ensemble Cast.
Sure.
For the Oscars, they chose to go with Best Casting, and this refers to the entire cast, how they come together, how they gel as a cast.
Do you remember what we awarded in the Central Ohio Film Critics Association?
Yeah, we gave almost everything to one battle after another.
Okay,
we
so gave, Best Ensemble?
I don't know if we did Best Ensemble, but we did Best Picture. Best Actor went to Leonardo DiCaprio. Best Supporting Actor went to Sean Penn. At the time we did that, back in December, those were the best bets. But things have changed so much since the award ceremony started in January. And now Sinners has gained momentum and is looking to be the film to beat.
Well, I would have to say that I think nose to nose that and probably going to beat that is one battle after another. And the reason I say that is, first of all, that ensemble works very well. And the historical perspective resonates so much today with people who want to revolt. Revolutionary people, and the characterization of Leo from that hotshot young revolution, seasoned and grim older man with his daughter and so on. Just to me, I think that has a real chance of taking it. And Sinners, I have to agree, Sinners is a monster when you consider all of its nominations. It's a tough call. I'm going.
You're going with one battle after another.
Now, let's clarify this. What we're doing is predicting, not saying what is our favorite.
Oh, no, we're not saying that our favorite. If I had to say my favorite, I'd be saying Megan 2.0, and everybody would be laughing at me, except a few of you out there who know what I'm talking about.
All right, good. So we know that, and we do have two, and we're going to fudge it and just say it could be either one, but you are definitely feeling Sinners will make it.
You're saying one battle after another.
I am
going to go with Sinners.
All right.
Let me explain why. First of all, 16 nominations is nothing to be sneezed at. And that shows a strong response from the Academy, a lot of momentum going into this season. It also is a historical drama, very much like One Battle After Another,
great,
this time set during the Prohibition.
And wonderful on the black experience.
And very much a black angle to it, which doesn't hurt it at all.
No.
Terrific cast. And it is not a musical, but the musical score to this film is so powerful, it's being compared to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And people are out there buying the soundtracks en masse because of the tremendous quality of the musical score for this. Plus, it's got great direction by a director who's previously best known for doing the Black Panther movies, and a great, great cast, almost all of which are nominated in the acting category.
Ken, out of all of these, there's only two categories that I think are locks.
Okay, let's hear your locks.
This lock is my affection for Jesse Buckley from Hamnet.
Yeah, no question there. Jesse Buckley is a lock. We're not telling any of you out there to put money on this just because we're saying this. But in my opinion, Jesse Buckley is definitely a lock.
She plays Shakespeare's wife in Hamnet. And I believe that is streaming at this point. It may be a $20 stream.
She is now a woman who is grieving the loss of her son. And we see the emotional erosion place through her performance.
I would say the last 15 minutes is a tour de force.
Tremendous performance.
The camera settles on her as she's watching the greatest writer in the world, in the history of civilization, and she's just beginning to realize how brilliant he is and how he has.
Jesse Buckley brings a strength and a vulnerability to that role at the same time, which is masterfully done and so hard to do.
The other that I'm thinking is a lock is the International Award.
Oh, no, I'm going to be inclined to agree with you on this, depending on what you say.
Sentimental value.
Sentimental value, absolutely a lock. Yeah. Now, this is an extremely strong year for international films. All of the nominated films are extremely worthy, and in a weaker year, any one of these nominees might have won. Secret Agent, in particular, great, great film. But yes, the quality of Sentimental Value and the performances in Sentimental Value means it is going to take the award. It's actually still in the running for Best Picture, too.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah, not to be
excluded. It won't make it.
Won't make it, but it would not be a huge surprise if it did.
Oh, I would be very happy with it, and it happens to be listed for that. And there's a sleeper in all of this that they could go to Netflix tonight and enjoy, and, all right?
Yeah.
And this is called Train Dreams.
Train Dreams, very powerful film.
Yeah.
And nominated in a lot of categories that a foreign film generally doesn't get nominated in. Doesn't probably have much of a chance, but it is definitely the just happy to be here film of the year.
Oh, yeah. Turn of the century, 19th and 20th century, a dreamy film itself.
Mm-hmm.
And one that you just don't know what's happening because nothing much seems to be happening. But it is all an individual performance by Joel Edgerton.
I want to throw one more lock out there. This is the biggest lock of the year. Nobody else even close to the running. And this is Best Score. Best Score is going to go to Sinners. This is not only the best score of this year. This is the best score probably in the last 5 or 6 years, probably since the last time John Williams won an award for the score.
You'll probably have a consideration for the movies that didn't get, that were forgotten. K.G. Klein, what do you advise about the Oscar show?
I would say if you're building your Oscar pool, this is a year where you have a good fighting chance of a high number of rights if you do your homework, because also this is one of the rare years where the three shorts categories, these are the ones that usually really wreck your pool, these are more predictable this year than ever. So you've got a good chance of nailing the shorts this year and getting a really good outcome if you do your homework.
No kidding.
They said they passed a rule that once you win, you can't run.
Who were they thinking about when they passed that rule? Talking about the Oscar nominations for the year 2025, that'll be at the ceremony imminent. We've talked so far on a couple of categories because Ken always has something to say. We've done Best Picture and Best Actress.
Well, let's go to the biggest snubs. Let's talk about snubs, John.
All right.
So this was a year where there was a couple of big snubs. First of all was Wicked 2.
You think?
Oh, gosh. Wow. That was the darling of the Oscars last year. The cameras were on Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande nonstop during the ceremony.
We have talked about this. And
yes.
You have agreed with me. The campaign itself might have deep six this.
Could have.
They were just all over the place, must have spent millions.
The film did very well in the box office, but it did not get a lot of strong critical reviews.
Yeah.
Even I'm at a loss how it didn't get at least into the best song category, because Steve Schwartz wrote two brand new songs for Wicked 2 that will probably be in the musical from this point forward. Both of them are better than any of the nominees for Best Song this year. Because the winner this year is probably going to be Golden from K-pop Demon Hunter. And my gosh, the Steve Schwartz songs were both much better than
your
that.
Other, Ken.
The other one is Highest to Lowest.
Yeah.
How did that movie get snubbed?
Yeah, it did.
Denzel Washington gives the performance of his life,
yeah.
And that young rapper who plays Kidnapper,
he's wonderful.
Absolutely should have gotten a Best Supporting Actor.
You know, that was lost almost immediately. I wonder if there's something about the director that...
I don't know what brought this on, but definitely Washington should have gotten nomination, and that young rapper
and
should
the movie should have gotten recognition.
And the movie should have gotten better recognition. Right. This is a tough field for Best Picture.
As we look at Best Actor,
Best Actor.
Yeah, what's your prediction?
Well, the prediction now is, and this is pretty much, I think, a lock, is Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, I mean, Timothy Chalamet is in the running. He is considered a strong possibility.
And third place, I would say Leo.
No, I would put Leo further back. I would say third place right now is probably...
How about Wagner Moura?
Probably Wagner Moura is probably in
third
place.
But people don't know him well enough.
They don't know him well enough, right. But tremendous performance. But Timothy Chalamet is fighting hard for this.
Yes.
He's campaigning hard. He is running on the popularity of himself and as a person, as an actor. His name draws people into the theaters, particularly younger women love him. But this is such a dark and disturbing and very, very unsympathetic character.
But what keeps him in competition is the fact that he lost last year playing Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And I think people have a sympathy for that.
But Hollywood just loves Timothy Chalamet. They really do. They just love him. He makes money in whatever movie he's in. He's got two or three movies coming out this year, Dune 3. But again, that character is so unlikable. And the Academy does like to see a sympathetic character for the best picture. So that's why I say Michael B. Jordan for Sinners.
Best actor, right? And so you're thinking Michael B. Jordan has a chance?
Oh, I think Michael B. Jordan's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after the Screen Actor Guild Awards.
Best Supporting Actress.
No, Best Supporting Actress. Now, that is a three-way race this year, John.
Yeah.
A rare three-way race.
Who would have thought? Elle Fanning. Sentimental Value.
Elle Fanning. Sentimental Value. She is in there.
She was a surprise.
But our three-way race is really between Miss Masaku from Sinners, Tiana Taylor from One Battle After Another, and Amy Magadan from Weapons.
Yeah.
And this is the one place where Weapons has a fighting chance at an Oscar this year.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if Amy takes it. I would love to see Amy take it.
Well, that she just took the SAG Award.
Yeah, that role as the witch was just funny, dark, really captivating. She owned that movie when she was on screen.
We're going to have a fight here about Best Supporting Actor. You're just Benicio del Toro in your head.
I have. I was so happy to see Benicio del Toro get nominated. In this category, he is the just happy to be there performer.
Yes, all right, so you agree.
Yeah, he bumped off a couple of other very potential nominees to get in there. If you go back to December, this was Sean Penn's to lose, but I am starting to think that Sean Penn may have lost it because I think there's a very good chance that Delroy Lindo from Sinners may ride a Sinners wave and end up taking this. But don't count out Sean Penn.
If more people had seen Sentimental Value, they might value Stellan Skarsgård.
He is not out of the race by any means.
But
he is probably the distant third choice, but he is not completely out of it.
But Sean Penn took the SAG Award.
He did take the SAG Awards, which is a good indicator, but not conclusive. He could still end up losing it to, if Sinners has a lot of momentum, it could end up taking it.
I would have thought you were voting Delroy Lindo, but no, from Sinners?
I'm thinking he may still be the front runner. If Sinners has a lot of momentum and starts picking up a lot of Oscars, he may be able to take it away from Sean Penn. How about director?
Yeah, all right.
This is a two-way race, John. This has been a two-way race pretty much since November. It is a two-way race today. It is either going to be Ryan Coogler for Sinners or it's going to be Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another.
I feel Paul Thomas Anderson has
Anderson has 11 nominations and has never won an Oscar.
Boy,
now, he's going to pick up one this year. He's going to pick up Best Adapted Screenplay. There's no question.
Right.
That is a lock, just as Sinners is a lock for Best Original Screenplay. This is flip a coin. Paul Thomas Anderson or Ryan Coogler, if Sinners starts building a lot of momentum and starts winning a lot of awards, it's going to go to Coogler, who is best known for the Black Panther movies. If Sinners doesn't dominate the Oscars, then Paul Thomas Anderson has a very good chance of taking this.
If more people had seen Hamnet, they might have, for that. But they don't know Chloe as well. She's won an Oscar already.
She has won an Oscar before.
No Man's Land.
And then Joachim Thier for Sentimental Value, great film.
And just not enough exposure.
Not enough exposure, and his filmography up to this point has been very dark, disturbing movies like Worst Person in the World. So Sentimental Value is the rare sympathetic movie, and I don't know if he's going to have a fighting chance on the basis of his previous films.
What about international films?
Oh, well, international films, again, this is a wonderful, wonderful list of movies. You should see all of them. Secret Agent, It Was Just an Accident from France, also a tremendous movie. Syriac just coming out now in theaters in America, and The Voice of Hind Rajab, which hasn't really played in America yet, but I there's no question sentimental value is going to win this.
I think we're both agreed
that's
on sentimental value.
That's a lot.
If you see it, you'll know why we said it, and also you'll know why the unusual circumstance of it also being for Best Motion Picture.
Best Motion Picture, which doesn't happen very often, but that usually locks it to the Best International Film. And then, one of my favorite categories. John, I just love this category. Animated film.
So you're way ahead of me. I'm behind.
Well, I'm going to surprise you with my pick. I think it's going to go to K-pop Demon Hunters.
All right.
This is a film that did gangbuster business when it came out. The theaters were filled with people in costume. It was a delight to be there in the theaters the weekend that this opened and seeing hundreds and hundreds of mostly teens in their anime outfits. It was like an anime convention. And this film also is going to pick up Best Song, which helps it win Best Animated Film. The only spoiler there is Zootopia 2, Disney's billion-dollar surprise hit, could come out of left field. But typically, the animated voters, the voters who do animation, prefer the smaller art studios over Disney.
Okay.
And that's going to give K-pop Demon Hunter an edge as well.
Let's move to the new category, casting.
Casting, Sinners. That's a lock, John. Nobody else. One battle after another has a chance, but my guess is Sinners is going to.
For instance, Hamnet doesn't have a chance because it's a very small cast.
No, you've got one battle after another and Sinners, and then you've got everybody else.
Marty Supreme, I'm surprised you didn't think that it has a chance.
First of all, I have to say, personally, I was not a fan of that movie. That movie is so dark. The central character is so unlikable. And as I sat in the theater, I kept thinking, well, the next scene is going to be about this unlikable person. The scene after that is going to be about this very unlikable person. All I have to look forward to for the next 2 hours is one scene after another about a really hateful, unlikable person. I didn't enjoy it. People who enjoyed that are mostly Timothée Chalamet fans who just loved his performance in that. And there's a lot of you out there, obviously, because the box office did well on that movie, but didn't work for me.
What works for me in that is that I like that kind of a con man. All right, he's my kind of guy. And so I'm not put off by as I think you speak for a great many people.
I like my con men to be James Caan or Robert Redford. I like them to be the nicer con men, the con men with the heart of gold, it's, the guys that you want to see walk into the sunset at the end.
Sometimes I think it's the dark side of me that likes them.
Well, that's why I like science fiction movies. They give me enough dark stuff to satisfy me for the year.
The Secret Agent is such a good
movie. Secret Agent is a fantastic
film. Good
movie. And that is a film that has, as much as I love the fact that it transports you back to Brazil in the 1970s, during the time of the dictatorship, I also like the fact that the story on that is very accessible. We can see this movie from an American perspective and understand the story unfolding without understanding the politics or the political and social context it's set in.
For a lot of people out there don't know when we say Wagner Mara and say, who's that? And boy, you want to see a charmer.
We've seen him in quite a few movies.
Yeah, but boy, when you see him in this one, he just charms his way through it.
He's one of the leading actors in Latin America today.
Oh, yes, Cinematography. I think this is a good year for cinematography.
This one is another battle. Frankenstein is the spoiler for all of these technical categories. Frankenstein is pretty much locked up hair and makeup. It's almost locked up costume. But cinematography is going to either go to Frankenstein, one battle after another, or Sinners. It's going to be one of those three. And don't count Frankenstein entirely out of it, because Frankenstein may have its own little momentum going into the ceremony, and it may pick up a couple of extra awards that it was not considered a favorite for.
And I'll say the sleeper for me is Train Dreams. I come back to that a lot. That's a motion picture that's so sweet and slow, but in its forest and train photography is beautiful.
Great, great film for the 50,000 people that seen it.
I know. Here's a category that you pay attention to, and this is somewhere around the screenplays. So do you have any thoughts about the original screenplay?
Both the original and the adapted screenplays are locks this year because Sinners and One Battle After Another go in two different directions. So Sinners, best original screenplay. One Battle After Another takes best adapted screenplay based on the novel Vineland. Both of those are a lock. There's no way either one of those is not going to walk away with the Oscar. And again, that may be the only Oscar the director of One Battle After Another ends up with for the night.
Let's end with live action short films.
Okay. So we're talking about the shorts. And the shorts are usually the damnation of movie critics because there are no pre-Oscar award shows that we can look at right. for an indication where this is going. But this is the rare year where we can see which is going to be the winner in each of these categories. So as I was saying earlier, people's Academy Award polls are not going to be tossed by these three if you know what you're doing. For our live action shorts, this is just my opinion, Butcher Stain has got it, because this is the only film of the five that has a political message. The other ones, Friend of Dorothy, very sweet, wonderful little short film.
You know I was charmed by Jane Austen.
Yeah, just a lovely little film.
I thought its wit was very good.
Oh, you mean Jane Austen's?
Yes,
that was my favorite.
Oh, boy,
that was my
good.
Favorite. Jane Austen's period drama.
Mine too.
Folks, what is Jane Austen's period drama about? It is about Eleanor from Sense and Sensibility having a period and having to explain it to men in 1839 England.
Right.
And it is a delightful, charming little film. I absolutely got wrapped up in it. The Singers, very interesting film from Netflix about a group of men in a bar.
I thought that was tough, though,
yeah.
to get into.
Tough,
it was
tough
very
film.
Tough to get into.
But it has a charm as well. And two people exchanging saliva. Will somebody from France please come and explain to me what that movie was about?
Patricia and I were there going, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
In typical of French cinema, the movie is stylistically beautiful. Absolute great cinematography.
The French don't care.
But
don't care
my gosh, it's so inaccessible. I'm sitting there scratching my head. What is this about? So again, for my one there is Butcher Stain, a film out of Israel about a Palestinian butcher working in a Jewish grocery store. Tough, tough film, but it's going to win because it is the rare only one this time that has a political message.
Yeah,
usually this category is packed full of political messages.
It is so true.
So animated short film. Now, this is one that's pretty much down to two films. The Girl Who Cried Pearls versus Retirement Plan. And my gut instinct is to go with The Girl Who Cried Pearls. I think that one's going to take it. Documentary short film. This is another very, very strong category this year, but the winner is going to be All the Empty Rooms. And folks, let me take a second to tell you about this movie. This is about a fellow who, a very popular, real person, very popular morning talk show commentator, who decided he was going to stop trying to make lighthearted takes on the school shooting situations in America. They were calling upon him on things like Good Morning America to come in and try to put it in a perspective where people could still feel good about themselves. And he finally said, enough is enough, folks. And he has done a book and now this documentary where he has gone in and photographed the bedrooms of the children killed in school shootings. And this is a powerful, powerful film. Difficult film to watch. You will come away with tears. Definitely, this is the one that's going to be the one to beat.
And this is Children No More?
This is All the Empty Rooms.
Oh, All the Empty Rooms.
All the Empty Rooms.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
All right, K.G. Klein, choking with all that you've got here. But we know that you're recommending that Sinners will take it all.
I think Sinners,
so much.
I think Sinners is going to take Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor. It's going to fight hard for Best Supporting Actor. It's going to fight hard for Best Supporting Actor, but it's weak in both of those categories. And that opens the door for One Battle After Another and Weapons.
And One Battle After Another is mine, like Sinners. Not quite as heavyweight as Sinners. It has multiple really fine aspects to it in any one of these categories.
It's a great, great film. Strongly recommended. One of the best films of the year. And if it takes Best Picture, I will not be the least bit disappointed.
All right.